The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Lady, I'm sorry you gave me too much money. Now, I have not been known to be very patient. And I never forget, I was in the Walmart one day, and the clerk gave me $5 too much back. And I didn't recognize it until after I checked out and walking away from my bag, counting my money, and I realized she gave me $5 too much. And she's ringing up somebody else, and you know how that works. They only can do one transaction at a time. And I said, ma'am, you gave me too much money back. And she said, well, can you wait? I'm in a hurry. But the inward voice says, wait. Somebody can lose their job over your dishonesty. Every one of us have that inward voice. Every one of us have that conscience. But the question is, do you obey your conscience? Or do you go against your conscience? Do you allow your conscience, that inward voice, to be your guide? In 1 John chapter 3, in the 20th verse, the Apostle John says, if a heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, because he knows all things. But if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence in God. We have confidence that whatever we ask, we will receive because we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments and we do that which is right in his sight. And when a person makes a mistake, and you know they made a mistake, and they can be jeopardized in some kind of way because of that mistake, you are not doing what is right in his sight to allow that mistake to exist. You might as well say amen. What is God saying through John? If our conscience, if our heart condemns us. John is really talking about the conscience. He says, if our conscience condemn us. My conscience has condemned me many times because I thought the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. I even done the wrong thing, and my conscience would condemn me. But John says, when your conscience condemns you, there is one who's greater than your conscience, and he knows all things. What are you saying, John? He says, whenever your conscience condemns you, turn immediately to God, Papa, Abba Father. Turn to him because you're his child. You're his son. And you can turn to him and you can receive a help. You can receive comfort and forgiveness. That's the way the conscience works. And when you try to ignore that conscience, you don't have any peace. You'll be lying in bed at night and that inward voice kicks in and say, you know you're not right. See, no, I don't need a third person to tell me that, or a second person to tell me that. My inward voice will tell me whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong. So if my conscience condemns me, God is greater than my conscience. So we have someone to turn to. We have someone to help us. We have someone to comfort and to forgive us because he knows all things. He knows all things. He knew what you're going to do before you did it. Then John says, if our conscience condemn us not, then we have confidence. Everybody shout confidence. This is what we lack oftentimes in our walk with God. We lack confidence. In other words, we lack that boldness. God wants us to be bold as lions. He wants us to come before the throne of mercy with boldness to find help, to obtain help and find, my God, to obtain mercy and to find help in our time of need. We lack that boldness. And if our conscience condemns us not, we have boldness. We have boldness to pray to God, to make a confession before God. We have boldness that whatever we ask, we know we're going to receive it because we are keeping his commandments and doing what's right in his sight. Can you say amen? This is the boldness you want to live with. This is the kind of confidence you want to live with day in and day out. You don't want the enemy to have nothing on you. And that inner voice, it'll come to you when you're lying on your bed at night and say, you know you did the wrong thing. You thought the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. And many times we say things to people just to make ourselves feel better. We say things because we want to win the argument. But two wrongs do not make a right. You see, a wise man will let you win the argument for peace's sake. I don't need to win the argument because I know someone and I am his child and he's greater than any argument. This is what John wanted us to understand about the conscience. Glory to God. The conscience is a conscience whereby we decide what is morally right or what is wrong. You know right from wrong. Nobody has to tell you what's right and what's wrong. God's given every man a conscience, every man that inward voice, and you know what is right and you know what is wrong. Glory to God. You know whether your thoughts, your actions, or your motives are morally right or morally wrong. Is that right? And then we instantly approved them or we condemned them. And that's how this thing works. Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name for that thought. And why did that, what led to that rebuke? An inward voice. You can be all by yourself. And you can begin to think about something, and you know your heart ain't right. You know your motive isn't right. But instantly, the inner voice kicks in, and you say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Now, if we were to be honest with one another, we would admit that all of our thoughts, all of our actions and motives are not right sometimes. But the question is, what do you do with them? The inward voice kicks in, and instantly, you either approve them or you condemn them. And you recognize their source. You know that wasn't from God. You know how you feel about somebody. You know how y'all talk, how we talk. Somebody needs to go upside their head. You know where that came from. Nowhere in the scripture does God tell us to go upside anybody's head. So it didn't come from God, right? And so the inner voice kicks in, and it either approves it or it condemns it. But when it condemns it, we ought to immediately turn to Father. You are God's child. And he's not going to cast you out of the family. He's not going to give up on you because you had the wrong thought. You took a bad action or you had the wrong motive in your heart. No, no, no. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And to as many who are called by his name, to them, they are the sons of God, even as many who believe on his name. You are God's son. Say that with me, I am God's son. Say it again, I am God's son. Yes, you are God's child, and God will never stop loving you. No matter what, God will never stop loving you. But that inner voice will convict you. Is that right? Now, another thing about this inner voice is that that's one of the ways God speaks to us. So when God dealt with me about not accepting too much change, when I was at a bank one day, when I was at the Walmart another day, that was God speaking to me. And I had to be able to hear that with that third ear. Otherwise, I would have came to church on Wednesday night and testified how God blessed me with too much money. You know what we do? It's not a blessing if somebody else is being cursed. But God speaks to the voice of our conscience. If you listen to your conscience, you will hear the voice of God. Remember during this series, I've been quoting from Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. God speaks to us through that inward voice. He speaks to us. God speaks where he lives. Let me say it again. God speaks where he lives. Don't you talk where you live? Now, how many talk at your house? I'm just trying to make this plain. How many people talk at your house? God speaks where he lives. And the scripture tells us that he lives in us. Let's take a walk through some of them, for example. Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 23, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father and I will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him. Jesus says, because you're a keeper of his word, the Father and himself will live inside of you. And if Jesus is inside of you, don't you ever think he'll speak to you? Many times he speaks through our conscience. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul reminded the Corinthians, he says, do you not know you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are God's temple, not this building, not these four walls, but you are God's temple. Is that right? And then in 2 Corinthians, he emphasized it even more in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He says, and ye are the temple of the living God. Somebody say, God's not dead. And he lives inside of you, but you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, Paul goes on to say, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the relationship we have with God. It's a very intimate relationship. God is not out there somewhere. God is on the inside, and he speaks where he lives. Now, we need to keep our consciences clear. Many people don't have a clear conscience. Some folk don't have a clear conscience about things you've done, you've said to your parents, your loved ones, maybe a sibling, or your spouse, and you walk around not having a clear conscience. In other words, you're walking around with spiritual baggage because you never turn to Abba Father. And you never allowed the Holy Spirit to convict you to go back to that person and say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. See, it ain't that hard. Just these little five words. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Or you can say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about unloading that baggage? And we don't have clear consciences. But we need to keep our consciences clear. Why do we need to keep our consciences clear? We need to keep our consciences clear so we can hear. Did you hear what I'm saying? You need to keep your conscience clear so you can hear. And if you're one of those people who says, well, I don't never hear God. You need to check your conscience and make sure it's clear. Make sure there's no baggage you're carrying around, no unfinished business. God speaks where he lives. always hear God speaking to me. I always hear God speaking to me. Now, I didn't say I always hear God speaking to me about other folk. And see, watch those kind of Christians. Did you ever notice these Christians? They always know what God is saying about somebody else. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? He don't just live in them. He lives in you too. But we need to keep our consciences clear so we can hear. I want to hear from God. Glory to God. I want to hear from God. I don't want to live a lie. Paul says, I tell you the truth, I am not lying. And my conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit that I have preached to you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not lying. But a lot of preachers lie. A lot of Christians lie. And people lie just to carry out their own agenda at the expense of ignoring what God is saying and what God desires to do. It's a shameful God that an apostle of Jesus Christ, as great as Paul, got to say to his countrymen, I am not lying. And my witness is the Holy Spirit who bears witness in my conscience. I am not lying. But people will look you into the face with a straight face. They'll lie to you. They'll look you in the eye and lie to you with a straight face. And some folks have lied so much it's become conditioned. It's a habit. They just lie automatically. Some politicians are like that. You don't have to look very far. Just look to Washington, D.C. And you'll find that lying is a disease. Pathological liars. Where is the conscience? Where is that person's conscience? How can you look people in the eye and lie to them? And then how can you tell a second lie to cover up the first lie? Then tell a third lie to cover up the second lie. Now let me close with this. I'm talking about the inward voice. Oh my God. I don't need to stand up here and beat up on folk. I don't need to preach against nothing. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell me to preach against nothing. It tells me to preach for something. My job is to be a proclaimer of the gospel, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. My job is not to rehabilitate you. My job is not to arrest you, to handcuff you, to put you in a straitjacket. My job is to proclaim the truth of God's word. Huh? And so I don't need to stand here to manipulate you, twisting the scriptures, wrestling with the scriptures. And when you do that, when you add to it or you take away from it, you are lying. You are lying. But Paul said this would happen in the last days in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, Paul says, I would have you know that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, being seduced by seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Many Christians have been seduced in these last days. They have been seduced with the doctrine of devils. And just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's the truth. God's word is truth. And Paul says some will depart from the faith in these latter times, these last days, giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, you'd rather listen to a lie rather than the truth. You rather embrace the doctrine of a devil rather than God's truth. More often than not, we see this, particularly when it comes to money. How much longer will we tolerate people lying in the church just to get you to give more in the church? Either God's Lord of the church or he isn't. Either he's architect and builder of the church or he isn't. I believe Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And if he don't build his church, who am I to pick your pocket? And any gimmick or any tactic I use, any trickery, it's a lie. And these preachers stand and say, there's 10 people here going to give $1,000. That's a lie. Because if they were going to give it, they would have gave it. They would have obeyed, come on, that inward witness or that inward voice that I'm talking about right now. But Paul says in the last days, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. You know, as the scar of a burn. Anybody ever been burned in here? The scar of a burn has little or no sensation. And so it is true, the more you lie, you burn your very own conscience. And some Christians have burnt their conscience to the point where their consciences are now seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're not sensitive to that inward voice. They can lie and lie and never turn to Father. Lie and lie and cheat and never repent and confess that thing before God. Because their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. When your conscience is seared, that inward voice becomes distorted. It's indistinguishable. It becomes muffled. Can't tell what God is saying. It becomes muted where you just don't hear nothing at all. Because your conscience has been seared with the hot iron. And now your life is just all out of tune, all out of alignment with the Holy Spirit. I want my life to line up with God's Spirit. I want to walk in him and have him walk in me. I want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of my flesh. But I can't do that without an inward voice. I need to know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know everything, neither do you, but God knows it all. Come on. And when your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience. So you need to turn to God and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Father. You don't need the pastor to stand up here behind the sacred desk and get up all in your business. Come on, to beat you, my God, on up and down on the side of your head. This is not what church is all about. Church should not be about coming here being beat up. But church should be coming here and being lifted up. And you'll never be lifted up if somebody don't tell you the truth. And the truth is, God is on your side. The truth is, you belong to God. And the truth is, the devil is a liar. Many times the devil comes as a wolf in sheep clothing. Many times he'll manifest himself as an angel of light, but he's still a liar. And when your conscience is seared, you'll fall for the okey-doke. You will fall for those wooden nickels. You'll purchase something that's worthless when your conscience is seared. And we need to be able to say, like Paul says, I tell you the truth in Christ. But you can't tell the truth unless you live in the truth. We need to be able to say, I am not lying. My conscience confirms what I'm holding on to in my life in the Holy Spirit. And I hear my conscience speak to me to say, Jerry, you're right, or Jerry, you're wrong. And your conscience will never be a liar. It will always tell you the truth. This is the inward voice. And God put that in every one of us. Every one of us. So yes, you can hear from God. Just listen to your conscience. Listen to your conscience. Now I'm trying to close, but in Romans chapter 1 and 2, the question is raised, how will people be saved if they never heard about Jesus? But Paul says, you're without excuse. You can never stand before God and say, well, I never heard the gospel. I never heard about Jesus. Even if that were true, you're still without excuse, because God, Paul pretty much says, God has sent to every man two evangelists. What are those two evangelists? First is creation. When you look at creation, you know there's a God somewhere. The second evangelist is your conscience. And your conscience becomes a law, according to Paul, your conscience becomes a law unto itself. You know what's right and wrong, whether you ever heard about Jesus. Your conscience tells you if you're right and you're wrong. Even your pets, those you'd have dogs and cats. Now remember now, your pet, they have a body and a soul, but they don't have a spirit. And if they had a spirit, they would be worshiping God with you. If they had a spirit, when you're down on your knees praying in the spirit, they'll be there speaking in tongues too. But they don't have a spirit. But even that dog or that cat, because they have a soul and are conscious, they know when they do something wrong. That dog go, tuck his tail between his leg. How much more should we know what's right and what's wrong? You don't need me to tell you if it's right. You don't need me to tell you if it's wrong. Your conscience will be your God. Give the Lord some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.